Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 518.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan. And today I'm excited to be bringing you a conversation with Cynthia Schwartzberg. Cynthia Schwartzberg is a psychotherapist, trainer, and speaker with a passion for making deep healing practical, experiential, and human. She's the author of The Curious Voyage to Authenticity, a rule-breaking guide for personal growth. And she's the creator of Harmonic Brain Healing, an integrative approach that blends focused attention, imagery, and nervous system support to help people shift stuck patterns and move toward a more grounded, connected life. Cynthia leads brain spotting trainings for clinicians with CE credits and offers programs for both professionals and personal growth seekers through Synthesis. And she was one of my first brain spotting trainers. She was my phase two trainer with Christine Rank. And Cynthia is someone who I really admire, someone who is very interesting and curious and authentic. So I loved our conversation, and I hope that you will find some inspiration in it as well. And as always, thank you for listening to Therapy Chat. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to be speaking with Cynthia Schwartzberg. Cynthia, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's really an honor.
I'm very thrilled to be talking with you, Cynthia, and I'd like to ask you to start off by telling our listeners a little more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I am a traditionally trained as a social worker, but throughout my career, I've been working with body, mind, spirit. So I was never, never is not the right way to say it, but I have always been connected to the value and the importance of working holistically with a person. So I started out in something called core energetics, which is working with energy and consciousness. And that was prior to somatic experience work. So it came down from some of the fathers of that. And then through that, I started to work with EMDR, because in core energetics, we look at the developmental traumas that happen in the body and give ways to support the system to sort of thaw out, shall we say, from a trauma.
Yeah.
So we work with the eyes, because the eyes get frozen in that frozen moments of time. And EMDR was like moving the eyes. And I thought, wow, this is fascinating. So I did EMDR and integrated it with core energetics. And along the way, I was getting my EMDRIA credits. So I went to Cape Cod. And I always say that I loved it because you go to the conference in the morning and to the beach in the afternoon. So that was great. And I met Dr. David Grand. And at that time, he was doing something called natural flow, which was a way of working with slower movements with EMDR. And he was also working with actors in and out of performance. And so I met him. And then sadly for myself, my supervisor at the time passed away. Mm. So this was back in 2000. And I called up David Grand and I said, or 2001, I guess, the beginning of the year. And I said, I need a supervisor. Because I always feel, and this is what I really want to share, that if I'm doing work, I need to be involved and engaged with some eyes supporting the work that I'm doing with people. And also, I love to learn from the inside out and the outside in. And that's how I grew to working with David and then eventually Brain Spotting.
Okay. Well, I could ask you a million questions just from that, but I'll try to stay focused. And that's how I met you, is through Brain Spotting. You were my trainer in, I think it was in phase two. And I remember just how interesting I found you to be as a trainer. Like, the core energetics piece makes sense. And I didn't know about that background, but the way you were, your presence really stood out to me. Because so often when we go through trainings, it can be really heady, and not necessarily in Brain Spotting, because that's not how Brain Spotting is. But when you're trying to convey a lot of, you know, neuroscience information and all of that, but then you brought your presence as a clinician in really beautifully in the demos. And I think that really spoke to me because it resonated with the way I practice too.
Thank you.
Very somatically. And energy and, you know, all of that.
Thanks.
So and what we want to talk about today is this discovery that you've made, this development that you've made through your exploration and learning over the years, which is harmonic brain healing.
Yeah. So I did want to share with everybody, because it is a tool, and I think it's a tool that's so useful for many therapists. And what it is it's an integration of working with Brain Spotting with counting and revisioning. So what happened was, one day I was working with a parent whose child had overdosed, and they're stuck with this horrific moment in time of seeing their child, and also the riddle of guilt, you know, just rid with a lot of guilt. And I had at that time in my personal life learned something called revisioning, which was where I imagined myself in a moment in time, because I had shared my life story of parenting with a reverend that I was studying with. And he gave me this option to imagine that moment, and in that moment, change the way I relate to the ending of it. So as if that was a movie, how would you like to live with it going forward different? So for about 2 months, I kept on saying I did the best I could at the time. So every time I'd see myself, and it was a moment in my car, I just kept on saying this phrase over and over again. And after about 2 months, I reconnected with my family member. And I think that the trajectory of our relationship changed ever since. Then, So I had already learned revisioning, and I also learned counting from Ricky Greenwald's group, from somebody here local in town. And I found it fascinating, but I was doing Brain Spotting already. And so here I was in a session. And sometimes you're in a session and you feel like so helpless and powerless, and like, what can I possibly do? And that's when our creativity can really emerge, because we want to give the best. I mean, we're also taught, like, just wait and see what happens. But we want to give the best to our clients. And some people need some input versus silence. So
because in Brain Spotting, we learn to follow the tail of the comet, and we don't necessarily intervene, even if we don't know what to do, or we're feeling that overwhelm in that moment. We're like, just trust the process. But you're saying this
you know, sometimes we do need to.
Yes, because this person
do
kept
something.
Sometimes clients are stuck with the
right.
same scene over and over again, and it's a loop that they can't shift. So in that moment, I said to this person something like this. This was years ago. I said, if this was like a I probably didn't say if this was like a movie, but if this image that you're having right now feels like something that's stuck, like a movie that gets stuck, probably expanded the way I said it, you know, what would you like to live with differently? How would you like, what's a preferred way of being with all of that? Then I did the process of having them imagine that. So I did what I had done for the 2 months. I did it more in the split second on a brain spot with this person. But I also integrated the counting. Because when a client is in deep process, but I'm offering a rhythmic sound, it's very much like Indigenous people use drumming circles or other beats, things with beats, or they use dance to support the body's process of healing. So here I was integrating all of these things together in the moment, and the person was able to shift the image. Because what I did that's different than a lot of trauma therapy is it wasn't like exposure. We did not keep going back to that moment. Every time the client shared something, we brought that something that was different to the point that they were looking. And I've used this and trained people with brain spotting, without brain spotting. I did one time a pilot study to see if people could understand. And anybody that's a highly attuned therapist or is, you know, somewhat somatically based, it's been easy for them to pick it up. So it's not like a new way of doing therapy, but it's a tool that has helped, and starting to share it with my consultation groups and starting to share it with other colleagues, it helps across many, many, many moments. And not only moments in time, but thought processes or repetitive patterns in thinking.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm thinking about, this is happening a lot now, and I'm wondering if you're seeing this, but people are going and doing these psychedelic experiences. So, you know, they go to Mexico, they go to Peru, they go to Costa Rica, and they do this amazing psychedelic journey, and then they love it and it's incredible. And then they come back and something's stuck. I mean, for some people, it's like, I've heard people say stuck in a hellscape. I've heard people just looping on one thought, like I couldn't help them or something like that. And just, you know, they're like, but I couldn't help that. They just keep coming back to that, and it's tormenting them.
Yeah.
This seems like something that could really help people. I don't know if you would call it integrating the experience or just getting out of that loop, but either way, it seems like it could help.
Yes. Actually, I have a new client this week who's been doing that, that's coming in for some support and some help. And we'll see. She's coming into town for an intensive. But yes, I think that I have worked with people who have gone to Costa Rica and come back. They're not always stuck in the loop, but they're stuck with a something that happened in that experience.
Okay.
And this supports movement. So when we're stuck, we want to support the system for movement in one form or another. I think that, you know, Peter Levine wrote Waking the Tiger, and he talks about going towards something and then away and towards and away. When you're titrating, and in harmonic brain healing, we're looking at something, then we're leaving it. We're looking at it, then we're it's like we peak. We don't stay there for more than like seconds. So we're not on that memory for any more than 5 seconds. And then after the first 5 seconds, it could be 3 seconds if somebody can't tolerate 5. Then the rhythm and the information that starts to move because it gets unstuck starts to replace. And then the consciousness has time to reorganize
Okay. So I think this would be a great moment for me to ask you, can you talk about why does a moment get stuck or frozen in time for us in the brain? What makes that happen?
So there was this article I read about stuck images. I'll try to maybe find it for the show notes. But what they talk about is that when we think of something, it's in our memory. Our memory is connected partially also to our visual cortex. So when I'm remembering something, my eyes will start to replay that. They might go, like as you just saw my eyes shift, they might go to a spot that I was looking at when that first happened. But what they will do is they will repeat what they called scan past, that fixation and that movement of that rapid eye movement. So in a way, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch, which was an old toy from years ago, where you turn knobs and you move a line to make a figure. So it's like our eyes are rapidly moving and recreating this scene. And our memory recalls that scene, and then have the image there again. And then I have the image there again. So the idea in the harmonic brain healing is that we're interrupting that repetitive thinking pattern, you know, which goes along with like neuroplasticity, like you're redirecting your thoughts. Jeffrey Schwartz talks about it in Brain Lock, like thinking about something outrageously fantastic and wonderful or something different.
You know, something that they talk about in the trauma world is trauma can create a foreshortened sense of the future. Like that idea that people can't see a future, especially, you know, childhood trauma. I think I'm thinking of this today because of what today's date is. It's an anniversary of a very traumatic event in our country. And when people talk about the problems that we're having in our country right now, and they say, you know, the answer is not necessarily the same old thing. For me, I can't envision what different could be like. Like, I can't envision it. And I wonder if this type of process can open that up, because it's like, you know, we're just in this box, as you and I were talking about before we started recording. And there is so much outside of that box, but we don't, it's like we're just staying in there, you know? We're like, we don't even know what's outside of it. We can't imagine it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just felt like pausing for like just a moment for what you just said about today's date. So thank you for speaking that. Yeah. And everybody, our country's in so many different directions. People have different relationships to today's date.
Yeah.
But when you're stuck in it, then there's, you know, I don't know, trauma builds on trauma. I don't know what your thoughts are of the day. But one thing that I do bring up in the harmonic brain healing is a process. So we can sort of share it now with everybody.
Yeah, great.
Is because part of the process has to do with our imagination, our imaginary visual field. So if you think, invite people like to imagine a chair and imagining yourself standing in front of the chair and notice what it feels like, then imagining yourself. I mean, I don't know if you wanted me to do like take the time tip for you to literally do it now, or you want me to just describe it. Do you want me to? And then
I'll probably be trying to do it while you're describing it either way. So,
all right. And whoever else is out there, I'm just saying, please do not do this while you're driving.
Yes.
Imagining yourself standing in front of the chair and just noticing what color it is, what it feels like. And so you're connecting physiologically as well as through your neocortex and visual field. And then see what happens if you stand to the right of the chair. And then I repeat like the same kinds of directions, imagining like what, does it look any different? How does it feel when you look to the right of the chair? And then we go to the left of the chair. Then I invite people to go above the chair, to go under the chair. But the other day when I was doing this with a client, I said they were stuck with something. I said, well, put that thought. Let's write out that thought and imagine writing out that thought and putting it on the chair. And they do this process. And what this process does is it helps us begin to see that maybe I can look at it from a different side. Maybe I can look at it from a different angle. And that sometimes supports people to get unstuck. So I teach that as an experiential to open up our minds. And it's fascinating at trainings because some people will go, well, my chair was on the floor, so I couldn't go below it. Other people say, I moved the floor and I went below it.
Right.
So it just kind of is very a great playful way of beginning to open up to possibility.
Just that simple thing, like you said about moving the floor, that's being out of the box, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, yeah. Of course, you know, in another moment, I'd be glad to support you and help you with that stuff. But you're welcome. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you to do that right now. I just had to say, because it was on my mind, that, and people who are listening, we're recording this on January 6th. So that's what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for explaining that.
You're for sure. And it's a, so I just offer anybody as a therapist, there's a, if you have a client with a stuck thought, you can do that. Try to do that process with them. See if it helps them, but it helped my client start to wiggle something that was very concrete.
Right. Something can get so fixed and we just keep going back to it. And when that's happening, it doesn't seem like there's anything else possible.
Right. So in the harmonic brain healing, what we often will ask is, could you imagine living with this differently? And it, like, how would you, not could, but how would you like to imagine living with this differently? And we have to work a little bit with that because it is so hard for some people. Like, so you want to just do like the very next best step. Like, and then some people could say, well, if I really could, like if I had a magic wand, then what it would be. And we start with that, even though it's like, quote, feels fake or made up, because we're imprinting it into the visual field and we're imprinting it into the body sensations that through the process, movement happens.
Yeah. Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from client secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
And I'm thinking about like things that people are holding or carrying that feel really unbearable, that, you know, it's like, how would you like to imagine living with this differently? I feels like, I don't know why I'm getting teary on, but it feels like it would be about sort of moving through or moving aside a feeling of, I don't want this to be true. So it's like that. It feels, in my understanding of trauma and trauma responses, it feels like the freeze.
So, you have to do some work.
Like you're in shock.
Yes.
It is. I cry a lot. Don't worry about it.
It is shocking. But, you know, so then you teach your client about the soft pain and the hard pain and the real guilt and the what can I do? And like for myself, when I was first learning the revisioning, I just starting to live with the idea that I did the best I could with a, you know, was a way of just accepting myself with my personhood, really, you know,
limitations like, of being a human.
Yeah. I have strengths, I have weaknesses. And I even was going back to the same time in my life the other day with somebody who lived through it with me at the time. And they said, they had a really great way of working with me. So I'll share this with you. They said, so if I was like Anna Freud, and I asked you this, like, what do you regret about this? Or what could be different? And the more they kept me a little bit in the neocortex, but it really helped me realize that I don't know that I could have done anything different with all the stakes that were at hand, with just who I am. And that really helped me accept if my heart had good intention. You know, ever since, like for the past, I don't know, like years, but I've learned more and more about the difference between intention and impact. I might have good intentions for you, but it may not land well. So I need to receive that it didn't land well, right? Mm-hmm. The impact was not great. But then I have then that internal world of like, am I going to feel guilty about that? Am I going to get mad at you because you didn't accept my intention? Or am I going to live with my deep regret and sorrow that it didn't land well? And we're both here and let's see how we can repair, which is a way of then moving forward in the relationship, right?
Yeah. And sometimes we hurt people and we cause harm and we can't repair. And then how can we live with that? We still have to live with that. And it's like, I think, you know, I want to make this about our country again for a second, but I think that, you know, a lot of times that prevents us from repairing is that we can't, or from trying to repair or from healing, is that we can't face that we couldn't, that we did something that challenges the way we view ourselves as a good person, you know? And it's like, how do you keep going? I think these are like existential questions too.
Well, there is a question like, so I lead this class on the book, The Curious Voyage. I ask the question, is it that you can't or that you won't? Mm. So won't I because of my pride? Mm. Or like, and I think that that's what adds to the divisiveness and like any side, whichever side. Or I won't because I'm too scared. Well, that's a whole other won't. And then I maybe need help, or I can't because I can't do it alone is very different than I can't because I won't, because of my pride or my fear. Like I just,
I'm not willing to consider something different. So I have to stay dug in right here.
Right. Cause it's got to be done my way or the highway.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, thank you for sharing also about your own experience that helped you to develop harmonic brain healing. And I think it would be really valuable if you could talk a little bit about what rhythm does in healing. You mentioned when we were talking before how that fits in, and then also about the counting, how that the counting can be rhythmic, I guess, too, but how that fits.
Yeah. So I think of the counting as rhythm.
Yeah.
So as the therapist, where somebody's looking in a certain direction, I might be counting either up to five or down to one. It's quite up to the client. So if I'm going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then redirecting the client to look someplace else, they're hearing my voice in the room. So there's an anchor to the here and now. We have some working relationship. So there's some supportive containing in that space. And the methodical rhythm supports the nervous system, because when we're traumatized, our nervous system is, you know, going into fight, flight, or freeze, but it's very, there's an erratic aspect to
it.
Right. So if this rhythm, it's a solid beat, almost like a heartbeat. Did you ever listen to, like, when I used to do like the breath work, I'd play this audio that had like the heartbeat, like kind of like, you know, like that womb heartbeat sound. So it supports the deep or, you know, brain, and it's supporting the nervous system, and it's supporting present time. So we're catching a lot in one action.
You know, and you also mentioned when we were talking before, rhythm is what Indigenous peoples use and have used for healing for time.
If you think about drumming, it's gotten more and more popular. Well, shamanic journeys use drum. The drumming circles, a lot of like the treatment centers out there now use drumming for healing. There's lots of drumming groups, and it brings community together, and people heal many, if it's a healthy community, people heal in community. You know, sometimes the trauma was the community. But Robert Scarr mentions it also in, I think it's in the Eight Keys book that he has, Eight Keys to Brain Body Balance. And in the back chapter, he talks about key elements that are used for healing. And so it supports our brain and body.
Yeah, I've heard about drumming and rhythm as a way to sort of like I'm thinking about it as like reorienting to the primordial pulse of life, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Like you said, that the system is having a rhythm when we're traumatized, but it's very erratic. And you think about like heart rate variability, you know, it's like, it's all over the place. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's too slow, you know, and it's not like responsive to the pulse of life.
Right. And years ago, somebody told me there is only light and sound.
Mm.
So we're working with the sound, and we're working with the relational connection with the voice.
Okay, one more thing I want to ask you about this before we wrap up is, how does harmonic brain healing, you know, because this tool, you're telling us, people don't have to be trained in brain spotting to get trained in harmonic healing. And it's a tool that therapists can use in their work, even if they're not trained brain spotters. So how does it work with memory reconsolidation?
Yeah. So I was getting ready to present at a trauma conference in Spain, and I came across Bruce Eckert's book on Unlocking the Emotional Brain. And in there, he talks about memory reconsolidation. And one of the things that I loved about it was he talks about a prediction error. So right before you and I were talking about that stuck thing. So when you're stuck, you don't really have an idea about anything other than the stuck, like what we had
spoken
of. So if I say to you, could you imagine the possibility, or what would it be like to maybe not be stuck? That's a little surprise to your brain, because it's like you're circling in this stuck. So a prediction error is when we introduce something that's not expected, because our brain is busy screening out so much stimuli that we will often depend upon what was familiar or what we know to plan our actions in going forward, or we expect things to be the same way. But nothing is certain, and nothing is really ever the same. But somebody said to me recently at a training, she goes, so is that like when you're proofreading, you don't notice that a word is spelt incorrectly? So that sounds like it could be, because I remember in advertising, we used to have to, this was when print was out and I was in the advertising PR world.
This is when reading existed.
We would read backwards one word at a time to make sure that the copy was correct before we go to print. And then the gorilla on the basketball court, did you ever see there's a YouTube video where they're showing you and they ask you, do you see anything different? But you don't see anything different because you expect basketball players on the basketball court, but there's a gorilla that's on the court. So there's these unexpected things that we don't expect to happen. So that's when we have this prediction error, it opens up our brain to be more malleable to reorganize. And at first we get very disoriented, but then we reorganize the internal material to be, you know, more in alignment and more flowing to our system. So we develop new learning. And when we replace the old image with something new, that supports the new learning to go forward and to keep us unstuck. So at the training, I do have a chart comparing the reconsolidation because there's so much of that process that happens during reconsolidation that really matches what we're doing in harmonic brain healing.
So what's the length of time? You're in a session with someone and you decide to bring in harmonic brain healing. What length of time would you spend with that intervention?
I mean, for some people that I've have a regular working relationship with and work, we spent a good amount of time sort of processing and talking, and maybe they had the from a brain spotting perspective, maybe they had headphones on, they're listening to alternate stimuli, but we're kind of framing, but we haven't gotten to what that nugget is that we're going to work with. I might say, you know, with the time that we have left, do you want to do the counting thing? Is what I'll call it to a client. And they'll say yes. And like, just like 5 minutes can unlock a lot. But that's,
oh, wow.
That's already that we've spent, you know, 30 minutes. But I have seen amazing shift and change in 30 minutes that people feel like, I don't know what that was. I don't know what just happened, but I don't feel that way anymore. And it moves. Now, when there's more complication, like I was working with somebody on fear of flying in a demo, and there wasn't a lot of complication. And like after that demo, she like was on the phone making plans and traveled and wrote me, and it was great success. Somebody else, she was still planning the trip, but we did a couple of sessions to clear out, because sometimes there's trauma around the moment in time that something happened. It's not just the something that happened, but it's like the pieces that are around that moment. So you know, there's more to clear through. But I did work with somebody recently, and they just looked at me and they go, "That was really fast." And I go, "I know, it's weird. It's amazing." You know,
yeah.
I'm constantly surprised at the miracle of that. And I had my own session the other day, and I just like, there's like no screen of what I was that I had before. It just, it's like got edited out and rewritten, you know, like a movie. We changed the ending. And at the very beginning, I used to call it movie spotting, but
that was what I first heard. Yeah. Movie spotting. Yeah.
Because there's like a movie that gets stuck. But now I like it to be harmonic brain healing because it really integrates the rhythm aspect to the work. And it's really bringing harmony into the brain.
Beautiful.
And I trained somebody in it. And then their client was a musician and they loved the name. And they could see aspects of it that, you know, we don't even see. So it's growing. And the
use is
growing. So, I mean, the first round of training people, somebody did a lot of work with OCD and eating disorders, and it was extremely helpful. I integrated sometimes with parts work. It's just, I've used it a lot with grief. I've had it used on myself with grief. So it's extremely helpful. I'm working with people in the, you know, armed forces, police forces.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, and I could say something to your listeners that they might appreciate. You can get CEUs for it, but it's only a day's training. I mean, it's 6.25 credits for it.
Oh, great. So
it used to be 4 hours, but people really need a couple of demonstrations to get it. So we have 2 demonstrations and 1 practicum.
Where can people find your book, The Curious Voyage, and the workbook and your trainings? Where is all this?
So all of it's gathered together on my site, synthesis.com. And it's a play on words, CYNTHASIS.com. And the Curious Voyage class I do rolling, actually, I do have class, the Curious Voyage to Authenticity. It's called A Rule-Breaking Guide for Personal Growth. So I train, well, I don't train, but it is kind of like a training. So you can get up to 12 CEs for it. And what we do is we go on the voyage together. And so people can experience it and then integrate it and use the tools that are, the book is filled with processes and tools that I've gathered over like the past 30 plus years. So they can use the tools with their clients. And I'm just having a ball doing it because my eyes are like looking at people and like, wow, in 8 weeks, they've really changed. Mm. It's miraculous a journey. So people are
welcome.
People
can do these classes and experience this with you, experience the what's in the Curious Voyage book with you.
Yes. And then they can take it into sharing any of the tools with their clients.
Oh, fabulous. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I am so grateful to you for bringing a sliver of your wisdom to Therapy Chat today. It's been so lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. I really enjoyed reconnecting too with you. So I hope that it helps people, and feel free to, I also have free talks regularly on my site, and I have lots of freebie like tools for like the attuned therapist or grounding exercises with clients. I just came out with one on the authentic therapist. So I have little videos and a workbook that goes with it. And it's all available to people.
That's so generous of you. And I'll be sure to put the link to your website in the show notes and title of your book and all this beautiful stuff. But Cynthia, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Bye, everybody.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Regan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.